You are now tuned in to Let's Talk Ferrella, and this is a new segment I like to call Cypher Something. I have some guest stars with me that I'm going to introduce you after this amazing beat. Shouts out to Bob. Blah! Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cypher Something, and you are now tuned in to the latest and greatest episode. I'm sitting here with my boy,
Masenko,
and today we're gonna let the show focus on Masenko and this book that he has coming out. So, Masenko, share with us some idealism that the book has to offer.
Okay. So the book is called You Don't Owe Anyone Anything.
Okay.
Right? And this was a book that I was kind of just resonating with myself in some of my experiences in life. And, you know, one day I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to write everything I feel down in a segment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just all my experiences, all my feelings, you know, all my emotions. So, I don't know, what do you want to start? Like, you can start with chapter one or?
It's all up to you. So you're saying that you wrote down all your emotions and everything. So now let's go in to depth on what the book has to offer. So in chapter one, what should we expect? Tell us what's the title of chapter one?
Okay. So the title of chapter one is called, Identity/Persona.
Identity/persona. What does that mean exactly?
So, what I go into chapter one, is your identity with your family, your identity with your friends, your identity with society, and then I go into how to embrace that. So
you're talking about pretty much how somebody would react, like when they're around their friends, as to their family and their coworkers. Like what do you mean by that exactly? Is that like, are you trying to say code switching, or are you trying to say that as a person, these are all aspects that you're like, all aspects and qualities that we all have? We all just naturally have different personas. Like what do you mean?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. A lot of times, because even ringing off the title, you know, you don't owe anyone anything. People will navigate their lives onto a lot of these notions. To please a lot of these people and things. So people will try to please their family and friends. Creating their identity. People will try to please society through, you know, a lot of social norms. But they don't respect or honor or love themselves enough to actually identify like exactly who the hell they are.
And okay, so I like that. So have you ever heard of the term, what is it called? Imposter syndrome. You heard of imposter syndrome? Like pretty much when people struggle with knowing who they are and how they fit in with themselves, they always feel like they're just putting on this mask at all times. So like, I feel like what it really means is, as long as you know who you are, what other people's perceptions of are you don't matter. Right?
They don't.
Okay. I 100% agree with that. I like that. I mean, shit, that's 1,000%, because I'm sure we can all relate saying that, hey, how we are with our friends, turned up, smoking, drinking, hanging out, partying is a lot different. Honestly, nah, with family, I'm still hanging out, smoking, drinking, turning up. But now it's like a safe haven. If I pass out, I'm cool. Like, I mean, shit, with friends, you can pass out too. Goddamn. I mean, it's like, as long as you know who you are, nobody else's perceptions of you matter, right?
Yes, man. Like, it's hard because I see a lot of people, you know, navigate their damn identity and try to dictate their, basically sabotage themselves. You know what I mean? You really, or not even just sabotaging yourselves, holding themselves back to the things that they want to do, the things that they need to do, the things that they feel will make them the happiest. You know, that's
and you feel like people hold themselves back from doing all those things by doing what exactly?
I mean, okay, so say regular guy, right? Johnny goes to school, goes to college. All his life, his parents have told him, you need to be this some type of doctor, right?
Mm.
But has his parents really, you know, got like sat there and said like, oh, like this is his personality, maybe this is not a good fit, right? Mm-hmm. But Johnny's too weak to really say anything or to really go against anything because he's fearful of that support from his family, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So he'll go his whole life doing something he doesn't want to do because he thinks that this is who he is. I remember there was this captain in the military. He was a medical professional, so he was like a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, he was doing his residency, and I asked him like, did you always want to be, you know, like a doctor, a physician?
Yeah.
And he told me that no, his original thing that he wanted to do was to become a lawyer.
Mm.
So he went to law school, you know, basically went to school 4 years and then went an additional 3 years to go to law school. And then after that, had to do an additional 3 years to go to medical school. And then, you know, so I'm like, damn, that's 10 years worth of schooling.
Yeah.
And I asked him.
That's fucking crazy. But yeah. Go ahead.
No, I asked him, I said, why did you want to be a lawyer in the first place? Like, why did you go to law school? And his thing was, oh, yeah, my perception of Law and Order and my family wanted me to do this and XYZ. And I'm like, damn. So basically, you just wasted years of your life doing something that you didn't want to do. And then you finally found something that you wanted to do because in the beginning, you weren't strong enough to, you know, distinguish that or like, you know, like have the strength to go against that, you know. And a lot of times it's hard for people to get out of that shell because they feel like they don't have support.
And they feel like, I honestly can agree with that 1,000% because it's like, yeah, now I pursue my art and everything now. But it's like for the longest time, I was like, damn. I really need me a career that give me a retirement and pay me more than the average man kind of money. So it's like, rather, like, kid you not, bro, like, right after high school, I fucking went straight to college. I was at the art institutes. I'm fucking enrolled, bro. I'm taking, like, 5 classes in a day. Mind you, only 3 classes made you a full-time student. So I was taking 5 just to go above and beyond. Because right then and there, I felt like art was my way out. But it's like, as I start pursuing art as like a career aspect versus like freelance and something I love to do and something I want to get paid for, I found myself like, damn, dude, I hate this shit. Like now, everything I do is dictated by somebody else. Everything I do, I really have no control over. And like it was killing me, like fucking painting and drawing 5-10 hours a day. Like, I like, oh, Dwayne, you gotta draw a fucking plant. Like, damn, bro, you see the crazy ass shit that I have when I create. Do you know what it's like to fucking sit there in 3-4 hours on something you don't want to do? And it's like it really made me take a step back, focus on, okay, maybe that's not the path for me. Let me try to focus on the money and then come back to this later. And it's like I focused on the money and then everything started coming together. And then it's like now when I have free time, I was able to take a step back and really do my art thing. Because all too often people get confused with what you do for work is either your level of success or how valuable you are in society. And people get their jobs confused with their dreams. You can still have a dream and not have a job. I mean, you can still have a dream and still have a job because you got to think about it. Construction workers, they don't go home and do construction. They go home and do tattoos. They go home and paint or fucking teach kids online. I come home, I do graphic design and do images and stuff for people. So it's like, what you do on your free time is really helping you keep the path of what I want in life alive. And you can still have your job, like you said about your military friend. Like, yeah, he's in a military now, but it's like, the fact of the matter is, the lawyer world is hard. Like, you don't just get a law degree and boom, you're a lawyer. Like, there's shitty lawyers that put people away. There's shitty lawyers that fuck up. Like, there's a whole process that you have to go through. So it's like, he did the work. He set the foundation. And now, bro, 10 years of school. 10 years, nigga?
10 years of school.
You mean it, bro? You mean it to tell me if you went to school for 10 straight years, you finna just go get that job the next day? He gotta decompress. Yeah. Decompress. Nigga, let me take a step back. I now have the credentials that I need to be a lawyer. Let me go do something else. Like, I've been painting and drawing my whole life. Then they try to push it on me as a career. Push it on me like, goddamn, like, bro, this shit is, now I'm not creative. Now I'm not freelance. Now I'm not my own man. So I took a step back, decompressed, and now I'm getting back to the money.
There you go.
So I feel like, okay, that's a good one. What's chapter two?
Okay. So chapter two is knowing your value. So that consists of basically three different components. Knowing your value is freedom of idea, your rights to action, and then freedom of existence.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let's pick back up with freedom of idea. So the basis of freedom of idea is that you have your ideas, man. Like, you know, what you believe in, you know, what you support, your basic First Amendment right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it's like no one can really take that from you. So my chapter of knowing your value is just that. So the second part is rights to action.
Rights to action. Explain that.
So your rights to action is your rights to do what you want to do, you know, and do what you stand for, you know, whether it be the right thing to do, whether it be the wrong thing to do. At the end of the day, it's your thing to do, you know. That's kind of like, you know, knowing your value as a person. You know, I have the right to do whatever the fuck I want to do. Mm-hmm. If I want to do something bad, I can do something bad, and it's a reflection of me. If I want to do something good, I can do something good, it's a reflection of me. But nobody should really dictate, you know, what the hell I do. Obviously, I'm not saying go rob a fucking bank, man, or fucking go shoot somebody, or, you know, go do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have your rights to do something important that's important to you. So and then the third part is freedom of existence. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went into depth with freedom of existence with like people who have like depression and like an existence crisis.
Explain that.
Okay, so freedom of existence meaning that a lot of people, you know, will feel depressed. They'll say like, oh, what am I doing with my life? Oh, does this even matter? Blah, blah, blah. You know, a bunch of stuff that they feel isn't important. They feel that they're just here in life. They feel like they just exist, you know, and how, whatever you want to spin it, it's like you exist for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, you're born on this planet by yourself. You die by yourself. So everything in between is you, man. Like, you know what I mean? You exist. Like, This is your life. You are the protagonist to your life. So whatever the fuck you do in your life is your life. And it is important. You know what I mean? The smallest thing, even if it's like the smallest thing in your world, can also be something incredibly important to your story. So people have to value their story, you know? They have to value that. They have to understand that. They have to see that their story is important. You know what I mean? And stop acting like a support character to other people's lives. You know what I mean? Because I look at my life through my eyes. You look at your life through your eyes.
Honestly, that's an extremely powerful statement. And it's like, as easy as it is to say that, so many people nowadays in society, they get blind by the fact of what he's doing, what she doing, what they doing, what they wearing, where they going. Mm-hmm. And it distracts from them. Like, I don't know that Steve is in the military. All I do is see Steve traveling all over the place. And now that's making me at my McDonald's job feel like, damn, I need to put in more hours so I can travel and be like Steve. But it's like, at that point, you're not focusing on yourself. You looking at somebody else and what they got going on. And now you stepping off your track to do what they got going on. Everybody's time to shine will come just depending on how much work you put in, how much manifestation you have going on. That's the only way you'll reach your goal. You're not going to get rich by looking at Steve get rich. You can get rich by being around Steve and sharing some of his idealism and sharing some of his values. But if you're not focusing on, yo, this is me, this is my life, these are the cards I was dealt, and now it's my time to make it out, God got a plan for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, not even trying to get religious or nothing, but it's like, if you stay consistent and you stay pushing those great values that you need or would want somebody else to give you on your journey, that is the real, truthful way to really make it to where you want to be at. And nobody really sits there and focuses on, damn, this is me. Like, how many females are insecure because of how another girl looks, not because of how she looks? How many niggas want to level up and boss up based off of what another man is doing and not what they are doing? Like, nigga, I want to boss up because Steve got a rose. Like, bro, no, not at all. You got to focus on you and your time will come.
Yeah. Don't stop worrying about, like, oh, like, I just made $1,000, but somebody got $10,000. And the dude who has $10,000 worried about the dude who has $100,000. And the dude who has $100,000 worried about the fucking millionaire.
And the millionaire worried about the billionaire. Yeah, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's you know, people shouldn't compare themselves like that. They should really understand themselves and take away a lot of the external energy from other people. You know, you take away the external energy, man, you find happiness. That's where you find your true happiness. And that's where chapter 2 is, knowing your value. So chapter 2 is basically, you know, trying to resonate and try to find your own external happiness without external party energy around you.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. What else you got? What you got in chapter 3?
So chapter 3 is, it's called The Gatekeeper of Confidence.
The Gatekeeper of Confidence. Why is that?
Okay. So The Gatekeeper of Confidence, this one is very interesting. So in this one, I talk about your rights to emotion, your rights to knowledge, your gifts of experience, and trust in oneself. So it kind of stems off of a little bit of the first chapter, probably like the identity part, but it really goes into depth about what confidence is, because I've heard that so many times. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you just gotta have confidence. And then when you ask people what's confidence, they give you the textbook definition of what confidence is. And you ask people, how do you get confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they never explain how to get confidence. They just say, just be confident, right?
Yeah.
Niggas is just like, oh, you just gotta be confident. What does that mean? So I figured out exactly how to get that. And one of the chapters is your rights to emotion.
Wait, what happened to how to achieve confidence?
No, that is a part of it.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So for your confidence is your rights to emotion. So what that means is that, like, a lot of things that make you insecure, or you feel like, oh man, I can't do this or something, that's just you submitting, you know what I mean? That's you saying, I can't do this because I'm not confident, you know? And people really shouldn't do that. People shouldn't have a lot of people, like you just said a minute ago, keeping up with the Joneses and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And being feel like you're inferior. What is that? Lack of confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Insecurity, a bunch of nonsense.
Look, I'll share a story, because this is how I achieved it. It's like, The way that I went about being so confident and like just myself, bro. Like, bro, it's like when you really sit there and you sit back and you focus in on, damn, how good I was doing last year or the year previous, or where I came from and how I grew up and so on and so forth. It's kind of hard to be knocked off your pivot when there's so many things to be grateful for. Like, the fact that you wake up, you can go to work, you got a car. Like, you're more fortunate than fucking all of Cuba. Like, Cuba car statistic is like one car per 1,000 people. Nigga, you got a car you can use every day. How can you dwell on your life when you know you're doing better than a whole society of people? It's like, think about motherfuckers that are insecure about their height. Steve is at least like 6'2". Do you know the average height in Korea is 5'3"? How can you be insecure when you're taller than an entire country of men?
Yeah.
Men. You are taller than an entire country of men. It's like, how can you be? And it's like, shit, bro, it makes it even more easier to really push that persona when you a black man. Do you know how grateful it is to be a black man in America? Yeah, we go through shit. Yeah, motherfuckers got all kinds of insurrections about us. But it's like, bro, could you imagine if slavery happened to any other race? They wouldn't have came out like we did.
Oh, hell.
They wouldn't have conquered like we did. Atlanta, where slavery and all that shit originated from, bro, that's black Hollywood. You can't tell me they didn't flip that shit 360 degrees. Like, as much shit as we go through as black men, it's like waking up, coming home, having good credit, having a great job, taking care of your people is like, it's like, come on, bro. How can you really be down on yourself when nobody on the planet has melanin in their DNA to make their skin a different pigment? How can you be insecure when nobody on the planet has hair texture like ours? Like, one of a kind is the last thing I would write on a piece of paper when describing an African-American male.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
Come on, my dude.
Yeah.
Like, bro, do you not realize if... Bro, shit. Even if you want to be on some super-duper cocky shit, bro, in all of China, the average male penis size is 5 inches.
This nigga.
Now, actually, I want to say it's probably like 4. 4 inches. So it's like, bro, if as a man, you were a female and she like, oh, your shit hecka small, yada, yada, blase, you going to be sitting there like, bitch, you not realize? Like, shit, a nigga could have a 5. Bro, you could have a fiver. A fiver. Bro, you piping more than an entire country of men. How can you be knocked off your pivot? Bro, no bitch can hurt my day. Oh, your shit little. Still hit. Bitch, my dick is the biggest dick in China if I went to China. Do you not realize, as a black man, if you went to China, you know we're not allowed in brothels at all?
What?
Because they say too big will rip. Nah, dead ass. Dead ass, bro. That's a real... Bro, dead ass. Dead ass.
It says too big will rip.
That's what they say. Yeah. So it's like, bro, how can you not be confident when there's so many statistics showing you that you're really in position? Yeah, we might have situations where I'm looking at somebody else in the position they in, but it's like, bro, the fact of the matter is somebody looking at you like, bro, Steve, you doing it. Steve, you doing military, you done traveled the world, now you're doing photography. Like, bro, you really doing it. And Steve should be focused on himself and be like, yeah, man, I'm really doing it. I'm in the moment. Because you'll lose track of where you need to be if you somebody tell you that. You're like, nah, bro, look at him. Bro, what you doing? You blocking your blessings. You blocking your blessings. Blessings come in all ways, shapes, and form. So it's like, if you not comfortable and happy enough with who you are as a person, bro, literally, fuck everybody else, nigga. You're born alone. You gonna die alone.
Yes,
bro,
yes.
I love my woman to death. I'm married. If Delana, if my woman went with another man, I can't say I'd be hurt. I'd be like, damn, that's life. I'm not gonna sit here and cry. I'm not gonna sit here and nicker and bicker. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I'm still me. I'm still him. If a homeless dude give you $100, is $100 any more less value than if I gave it to you? No, it is not. It's still $100. Where it's coming from or who it's going to doesn't matter, because the $100 will always hold its value. If you hold your motherfucking value, nothing nobody got to say about you will ever fucking matter.
That's true.
Bro, I got a gigantic head. I got a big ass nose. I've been roasted on it my entire life.
It's not even that big, bro. What you mean?
Steve, what size do you wear in hats?
Nigga,
what size are you wearing hats?
Shit, bro. I don't know, bro. It's...
Bro, you see that hat right there, bro? Put that hat on, that black hat. You say, bro. Bro, put that on.
Okay.
That's a size 8, and it fits me snug.
God, that's not that big, bro. I think you just beat yourself up, bro.
No, I'm not. Like, kid you not, it's like, come on. I got a big head, got a big nose. There's not a single joke on the planet that anybody can say against me that I can't say about myself that's gonna be funnier.
Oh, okay. So would you rather have a big ass head, and or would you have a small ass head that don't match your body?
I'd rather just have the same size head, cause all it did over the years was just build my neck up. So now I got a thick neck.
This got that football neck,
you know what
nigga.
What I'm saying?
He got that.
So it's like. It's like, bro, there's nothing nobody can say about me that I haven't already said myself or heard. And it's like, when you accept who you are, what you've done in life, and where you're gonna be, not where I might be, where I'm gonna be in life, success-wise, ideal-wise, money-wise, there's nothing you could say to me. If my woman left me, okay. If I lost my job today, okay. Because at the end of the day, I'm still me.
Yeah.
And you really got to treat your emotions and your value like currency. If I piss you off, you finna give me $5? If your mom called you and said something out of your name, you finna cash out for $100? No. Then you got to treat your emotions like money. Because if everybody's sitting there and you cashing people out, guess who gonna end up broke, or translation, in their feelings? You, not them. Ain't nothing nobody could say to me to make me change from being cool to uncool. Nigga, you a bitch. I'm not a bitch, but okay. Oh, nigga, whole ass nigga. Not a whole ass nigga.
I'm not gonna lie.
You feel me?
I'm not gonna lie, Bresky. I think you just hit maybe 2 extra chapters in that motherfucker.
My bad.
It's good. It's like there's 15 of them, but it's like, I was like, what? He hit 2 extra chapters.
Yeah, bro. It's for real though. Like, if you're a woman, what's the point of being insecure by looking at J-Lo? J-Lo the baddest bitch on the planet, and she's insecure. So you focusing on somebody else is not going to get you nowhere. And plus, you got to think about it. Them bitches got cheese.
They got cheese. I thought you said cheeks.
Cheese.
Oh,
cheeks too. Cheeks. But cheese.
They got cheeks and cheese, man.
You feel me? Like, it's kind of hard to really sit there and dwell on yourself when you know somebody is either doing worse than you, or somebody's looking at you thinking, damn, I want to be on that level. Bro, you could have a shitbox car. Somebody taking a bus wishing they had a car. Somebody's riding a bike wishing they could take the bus. Somebody walking wishing they had a bike. Somebody in a wheelchair wishing they could walk.
It's true.
It's always a cycle. It's always somebody better. It's always somebody worser. It's always somebody with a sadder story than you. It's always somebody that came from somewhere worse than you and worse than them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be somebody doing better than you. But how would you know that if you're not focused on that shit?
Yeah.
How could you be insecure if you're not watching nobody?
Yeah, it's like, it's just a part about just counting your own individual blessings.
Your own blessings,
bro. And then not really worrying about what's on someone else's plate. Count your blessings and stop worrying about what's on other people's plate.
Exactly.
So that's a basics of confidence.
Go ahead.
Shit, I don't even know if I should. Okay, so I'll do it.
Yeah.
So so the next chapter was about potential and awakening. So what I talked about on this one was basically the trial and error phase of what you're doing, seeing past the horizon, respecting the past, and then I think the most important thing is your improvement must have integrity. So I kind of wanted to talk on the improvement must have integrity part a little bit. So, okay. So, and I've been guilty for this. So I'm not gonna lie, but I would be I would be stuck in situations like, okay, so I was in like a relationship where I felt like I wasn't like good enough or anything like that. So like, you know, when I got out of it, I started hitting the gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started hitting the gym, and the whole time my mindset was just like, man, I'm about to just be hella swole, hella big, you know, feel me? Just to, but my energy was pushed towards like women or getting the girl back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I started working out. I was like, okay, I'm getting hella big, hella buff, whatever. You feel me? Like, I'm out here killing it. I'm out here crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the wrong type of energy. It was always the wrong type of energy. Because I didn't have any integrity in my improvement. And the lack of integrity was the fact that my fucking motivation was fueled by trying to get a fucking ex-girlfriend back. Or trying to get, like, another girl. No, like, I didn't go to the gym. Like for, you ever think about it? Like, people who go to the gym, they don't go to the gym because they're like, oh, I need to go to the gym. They either trying to get girls, trying to work out to look good for girls, or something else. But they don't sit there and say, like, I need to get good because I need to get good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was, like, potential and awakening and actually having integrity in your improvement. You know, just like you were saying, you know, you shouldn't be worrying about the Joneses, but more importantly, you know what I mean? You should move for yourself. If you're going to do some shit, right? I'm going to get a degree, get my education or something like that. Are you doing this because somebody else is telling you to do this? Are you doing this because you want to impress somebody? Are you doing this because, you know what I mean, you think it's the right thing to do because society tells you it's the right thing to do? Or are you doing this because you want to do something? You know what I mean? That's where the power really lies. You know what I mean? And that's where, like, that's the gray area between happiness and depression. You know, happiness and depression. It's like, cause you can be like, oh, I'm hella swole, hella big, hoes like me or some shit like that. But nigga, did you work out because you wanted to work out? Did you work out because you wanted to get these bitches? You know what I mean? As soon as you stop working out because you got a hella hoes and shit like that. You know what I mean? Is hoes gonna really gonna fuck with you? Oh no, so I gotta motivate so I can get more bitches.
Hoes gonna fuck with fat niggas, buff niggas, skinny niggas.
Yes, and that's
it. All has to do with who you are.
Who you are. And that's what real confidence is. That's what real, like, self worth is. That's what real self love is. You shouldn't have to have a direct motive to every single thing that you do. It should help you. Anything that makes you happy and you want to improve upon, it should be you. You know? So that's the portion of where I was talking about having integrity in your self-improvement. Do not do shit because, you know, somebody's watching. Because, you know, that's what the integrity part is, right? Doing the right thing or doing something when no one's watching.
I call that the revenge success story. Like, where it's like, I don't want to boss up and get money for me. I want to boss up and get money because Steve said I was a broke ass nigga. So now I'm going to show Steve I'm not a broke ass nigga. I want to boss up because my baby mama kicked me out and said, I need to get my shit together. So now I'm really finna get my shit together and I get back with this bitch. But it's like, bro, why don't you get your shit together and boss up for yourself? Because if you focus in on somebody else, your good karma will never come. If you trying to boss up to shit on John, because John was, he was flashing chains and saying, Steve, you the little dick, you a little nigga, you the little homie, whatever, whatever. Now it's like, damn, okay. Now I'm finna get my cheese up to go shit on John. When it's like, bro, why don't you just get your cheese up and vanish? People knowing you got money or not, who gives a fuck? Because the goal is really to be a rich nobody. Fuck the fame.
Yeah.
Famous niggas is broke. Nigga, I'm trying to be a nobody.
Oh, shit.
Like, nigga, once all my shit start taking off, bro, you gonna go on Instagram and be like, bro, where the fuck Dwayne at?
Yo, nowhere. For real. You know, actually, that's pretty true. A lot of famous niggas are pretty much nobody. A lot of rich motherfuckers be like the people that you don't even really be seeing. Like, they be the people who be riding around in Prius wearing some Crocs and be having like fucking $4 billion in the bank account. And you just be like, where your Yeezys at?
Nah.
Where your Gucci belt at?
They're not peacocking. You know what peacocking is?
The like flexing.
Flexing. Showing your feathers. Yeah. Cause niggas that don't got it, they always want to seem like they got it.
It's that and I think I talk about it a little bit. It was like the difference between like the symbols of freedom and actual freedom.
Yeah. Go ahead, touch on that. Like, what you mean? Is that a chapter in the book?
It's a little subsection. I do talk about it. The symbols of freedom and the actual freedom. I think it's like chapter 7 into the pain of sacrifice. And I think chapter 5 was like value of time. But you want to talk about pain of sacrifice?
Like, shit, bro, it's your book. Whatever you want to share. Whatever brief knowledge you want to give, bro, you are more than welcome.
Okay, so I wanted to touch on like the pain of sacrifice. So like any other person who does something, I remember I didn't even have a car until I was like maybe 18, 19 years old. So I was taking the bus, and I was working a job. And it was smooth, it was cool, you know, but a lot of time I would spend my money on a bunch of things that I really didn't think I needed, or, you know, and then I told myself, you know, what exactly would be valuable in my life? And feel like, oh yeah, maybe a car, because taking the bus kind of sucks, asking for rides kind of sucks.
But you got them new J's though.
Yeah, like that's the dumb thing. Until finally I said, fuck it. Like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna sit here and eat ramen noodles. Right?
Yeah.
Even though I can afford like good food, I'm gonna sit here, eat ramen noodles. I'm gonna sit here and wear the same fucking shoes. Not buy any clothes, you know what I mean? Not go out, not do nothing. You know, and eventually I did get a car, and it felt good. It you know what I mean? It felt good knowing that like I really sacrificed a lot of like what I needed to sacrifice for something I actually wanted, versus a lot of things that were just like taking up time, taking up space and stuff like that, making me feel good for the moment, you know? And I feel like that's where a lot of people get fucked up on. Is that they'll see something that they'll actually want, but they'll settle for things that
they don't need.
They don't need, or just feels right in the moment, you know. So it's like if you want to get a house, if you want to get a house or something like that, you know what I mean. Like,
just you gotta make sacrifices.
Make sacrifices. You know what I mean. Make those sacrifices. Yeah, like you may feel like, oh man, I'm missing out, right? I'm missing out on X, Y, and fucking Z, but. At the end of the day, you're not, bro. You can afford not going out all the time. You can afford not, you know what I mean? Buying some new shoes. And you can afford, you know, not doing something if it's something that you really, really want. Like you feel yourself something that I need to obtain. but there's pain in that. It's a lot of pain. There's a lot of ego in that too.
It is. To be honest with you, it's funny as fuck you say that, because like I was like that. I was like that for the longest time, bro. Like, kid you not, it was like how I grew up, broke as fuck, poor as shit, had one pair of shoes, used to hit licks. Bro, do you know we used to snatch niggas' True Religion jeans off their body?
Damn.
Nigga, what? Nigga, I used to hang out with niggas, get to know them, nigga. I'm stealing something because I ain't got nothing. And it's like, I got my karma back in many different ways. But it's like now, bro, I was even on the same hype. Like, nigga, I can't tell you how many shoes I got. I can't tell you how much fucking name brand shit I got. And it was literally all because of how I grew up, how I didn't have shit, how I couldn't go get no shoes, no clothes when I wanted to. I either had to steal it or just when I asked my mom, the answer would guaranteed always be no. So it was like, I got to that level. I need them. Oh, those coming out? Got them. Oh, that colorway? Got them. Oh, that's coming out? Got it. And it was like, after a while, bro, I really sat there and I sat back and I was like, damn. Start reading more, taught myself financial literacy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, I was trapped in the debt consumer cycle. It's buying shit all
but
the
you gotta
time.
Really take it into consideration for yourself. Most of the time you felt probably deprived of a lot of those things.
I was,
you know what
I was. That's how I felt.
So it's like it's completely like, you know, understandable, even for a lot of people, you know, when you're deprived of some shit and somebody has something shiny and you got the money to buy it, obviously you're gonna try to get it, you're gonna try to have that feeling that makes you feel good. But at the same time, you know, it's like how do you want to feel? Do you want to feel good for a while, or do you want to just
feel good for that moment? Long time.
Because
I mean, I 1000% know what you mean. Because niggas sometimes, like, bro, it'd be so crazy how often people would be dead broke, behind on bills, but still go shop. Like, nigga, I've had situations where, like, I was depressed, sad, going through some shit, and just having some new shit, it really just make a nigga feel like that nigga. But it's like you said, bro, boom, I'm that nigga. I got the newest pair of shoes. Nigga, I got the outfit to match. Nigga, let's go to Topgolf. Nigga, okay, cool. We go to Topgolf. You know what I'm saying? I'm really him. I'm fresh, everything. Next, you know, nigga, I come home. I'm back in the same place. Without them clothes, I still got the same depression. I still got the same ideology. I still got the same issues wrong with myself. And until you really sit back and identify not only what you need to do to change your finances, but what you really need to do to change your environment. It all starts with you, bro.
Comes with sacrifice. That's the thing. You know, it how valuable you want to be really goes to how much you want to sacrifice. How much you literally want to sacrifice.
I like that a lot. I like that. How valuable you want to be has to be with how much you want to sacrifice. I like that.
Yeah, that's chapter 7. Then
what else?
I got I mean, you can kind of just chapter 8 was kind of just going off of investing in yourself.
Okay.
So, this thing was just I wouldn't say just, it was kind of going off of you know, the sacrifice and everything, but it was like identifying the difference between a liability and an asset.
Oh, I like that. That's literally my favorite. If people know me, they know I say that shit all the fucking time. Bro, go ahead. Continue, though. I don't want to interrupt, my bad.
Nah, you good. So, like I said, when I was trying to get a car, right? Mm-hmm. And I did get a car. And I was driving my car. I always thought to myself, like, bro, like, I want a fucking Lamb, bro. I want a nice-ass whip. And I was still making some... I still am making some, like, some good money. Hell, even my coworker, he bought, like, a fucking Supra. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, nigga, that's wet, bro. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm thinking, damn, we make the same amount of money. Like, we can literally buy the same shit. But
his ideology is different.
It's way different. It's way different.
His car, hold on. So, it's so funny you say that, bro. Because at my job, we all make the same exact, like how you said, depending on your rank is how much money you get paid. Mm-hmm. Bro, I swear to God, my job is the military. We go off military time, uniform, crease, boots. Like, I swear to God, that shit, the military. But anyways, like, deadass, bro, one of my partners bought a 2021 Alfa Romeo. The other homie bought a Tesla. The other homie just bought a fucking... Bro, the other homie, I know for a fact that he's not at the same pay rate as me, at least not yet. This nigga just bought a 2021 Benz. Other homie just bought a fucking Jeep SRT. Everybody laughing at me like, Wayne, you got that Acura? Nigga, don't we make the same money, nigga? Laughing. I'm sitting there like, but I know for a fact I'm saving more.
Yes.
I know that for a fact based off your... Bro, we make the same amount of money. I know for a fact I'm saving more than you. Your car payment, $1,200 a month? Cool. Bitch, mine is like $300. Yeah. So, I'm behind.
So that's the thing, though. You... And that's like one of the subtopics. It's like you clearly identify what is, in your book, a liability and what's an asset. Yes. You know, people can talk about that bullshit that they want to talk about. Oh, yeah, this nigga driving fucking Acura. I'm rolling around my Benz. We work the same job, make the same money. That's fine. You know what I mean? I'm not even throwing shade at my bro because I actually love my
friend. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I need to... The money I have, yes, I can get this nice shit.
But why not focus on what you need to focus on right
yes,
now?
Yes, yes. That's been my goal. Because for the most part, I remember I was spending thousands, bro, on stupid shit. Bro. Thousands of dollars on dumb shit.
Relatable.
And I'm just...
Relatable.
And I thought to myself, I was like, self...
Trips, hella shit.
Like, I was like, self, is this shit making you any money?
No.
No. It's not making me shit.
Is it making you happy when you first get it and then you go flex on the nigga or you go flex on a bitch? Probably. After that, it's going right back in the box.
Right back
them
in the
shoes fucking, is going right back on the shelf.
Right back in the fucking box. And you just be thinking to yourself, like, God damn. And that's where I'm like, you know, as I got older, I started to, you know, start thinking about things about, like, you know, like, how do I really... leverage the things I have. So I started, you know, coming up with ideas. It's like, okay, maybe I can invest, learn about dividends, or, you know, try to stake some of my coins, my crypto, you know, really try to elevate myself and try to live off of, you know, the longevity of things. Because I'm not gonna lie, I see a bunch of people in you know, there'd be a bunch of people who are like, oh my God, this nigga got this car. Oh my God, this nigga got money. This nigga does. I was like, yeah, but like, nigga, the way the nigga spend money, it's like, you really gotta understand that shit be drying up. If you wanna fuck with it, like, somebody who actually understands
the value of money,
and respects the value of money, you need to, like, you know, fuck with somebody who's not buying a bunch of liabilities. You know? Oh,
I can't tell you how many times where I'll tell people about my job, how much I make, and they'll either, for 100% fact, won't believe me, bro, there's no way you make that much. And I'm sitting there like, okay, I mean, I'm not going to prove it to you. Bro, look at you. And it's so funny because with our society, the only reason that people go get the nice new things is because as a society, we base value off of physicalities. Mm-hmm. We base value off of what we can see.
It's the, I think it was like, what was it? It was chapter 6.
Like, we base value off of things we can see. Steve, your job not good, nigga. How come you don't got a Benz? My bro at Walmart got a Benz. Nigga, that nigga really doing it over there. And you sitting there like, do you not realize that that nigga's income a month is two bands and his car payment alone is $1,300 and he live at home and he got a mom and dad that pay his bills?
For real.
And it's like, all too often, and it is so crazy, bro, like how many little young niggas our age will get a couple of dollars, go get a Hellcat, get a PP loan, go fucking buy a new chain, go fucking take a trip, go do this, go do that. But it's like, bro, you didn't invest none of that money. You didn't save none of that money. You didn't put nothing away. You just got all this shit to make people think that you're doing better when on paper, you're not.
Yeah, like, you cashed out way too early. Way too early. Now you're sitting there with like trying to fix your shit. Like, oh man, I'm paying for $1,300 for my Hellcat. Oh, okay. Well, let your brakes go out, bro.
Let your brakes go out, bro.
Let you get new tires. Let you get a fucking oil change or something like that. That is, you know what I mean?
Bro.
Yeah, you gonna hate your car. Bro. You gonna fucking hate your motherfucking car. You gonna be like, God damn. When you first got it, you was just like, oh shit. Like, I'm hella happy. Like, I got my whip. I got this. I'm not, but it just comes down to it, like, bro, you know what I mean, about like whether or not you can afford it. Don't get me wrong, if you can afford like a Hellcat, your shit's $1,300 a month, but you make like 5-6 racks, then that's nothing. That's probably nothing to you.
Yeah, but if you not making that much,
then don't get it. You can't afford it. You can't. You know what I mean? Even if you think you can afford it, and you probably have the money to buy it, you really can't afford it.
It's honestly, bro, I feel like it has a lot to do with the societal pressures that we're under. Like, bro, too many young niggas want to idealize rappers and all kind of shit. Oh, this nigga got this, bro. He got all that. But it's like, bro, at the end of the day, you don't got his money, his grind, or his hustle. Niggas want a Hellcat to make it seem like they really out here dogging. But it's like, nigga, Monday through Friday, that Hellcat don't move because your ass know if something happened to it, you finna either break even or be in a hole.
Damn.
Like, ain't no way. Like, bro, I can't tell you how many partners I got that got the nicest cars, got chains, got jewelry, got hella shit, and they don't got shit in their savings account. Nigga, I'll mention a Roth or a 401k investments account to a nigga. They look at me like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Damn.
I'm like, bro.
That's bad, bro. I'm like, that's so bad.
You do realize that literally the key to life and the key to success is to, one, stay consistent. Two, live below your means. Save more than you spend. Invest the rest. And just be fucking consistent. And it's like, all too often, niggas will be like, bro, I got the new Supra, bro. If Steve got a bucket and he got a Supra, automatically the female gonna be like, he doing it better. Look at his car.
Yeah.
Steve got $30,000 in the bank. Steve's Roth is maxed out every single year. Steve don't even gotta worry about his retirement nor his pension. And Steve is getting ready to buy this house. Supra nigga living on his mama couch or still in his high school bedroom, barely making minimum wage. His car was co-signed by his mom and dad, and they help him with the payments.
Yeah.
But he not finna tell you all that, and you not finna ask all that. You basing value off of physicalities, what you can see, what you can hold, when value has everything to do with, yo, if I gave Steve 10 bands and this nigga with the super 10 bands, who finna really make me some money? Nigga, you just fucking souped up your car, bitch ass nigga. I'm like, Steve, what happened to that 10 bands? Oh, Dwayne, I put 25 into this, to Robinhood, put another 25 into fucking Webull. I bought some stock options. I still got the rest, and I paid off my car 4 months in advance. Steve, you paid your car 4 months in advance. Why would you do that? Because I don't have $10,000 month to month, so now I can stack my money for 4 months straight and get that money right back, and the rest is already invested. Niggas gonna be sitting there like, what, nigga?
Yo, you talking, yo, bro.
Not like, it's so crazy because, like, when it comes to money, money is such an uncomfortable topic if you know nothing about it. if you're not doing good with it. Like, think about if your sister was always getting cheated on by her dude. She's never going to talk about her relationship. She's never going to tell you what's going on. Think about if your brother had a shitty ass job. When he comes home from work, he's never going to talk about his day at work. He's never going to tell you, bro, I can't wait to go. Because when people know that they're in unfamiliar waters, there's no need for conversation. You feel me? Like, you can't really say you know what you're doing with money if you don't know what you're doing with your money.
For real, for real. Painful lessons that you learn growing up, or even in your adulthood. But they're lessons that are important. And a lot of people don't really learn these lessons until, like, you know, later on when they don't have the need or the want to have certain things. But by the time they do that, it's kind of too late. So I gotta say, like, this, bro, I'm actually impressed, Dwayne. Goddamn, low key, bro. That was fire. No, I didn't even know you felt like that. Cause sometimes I'll talk to people about this, like, some of that shit. Look at me, fucking crazy, like.
Nigga, come on, bro. I'm very articulate. You better quit playing with me.
No,
bro.
I'm not. You better
quit playing with me, nigga.
I'm not saying that.
You better quit trying to downplay
Okay, I'll say 9 out of 10 people I talk to, right? 9 out of 10 people I talk to will think, like, from that physicality standpoint, bro. You know what I mean? And I think what really fucks it up is just, like, what really fucks it up is social media, bro. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Straight up.
Keep it mean. You know, social media kind of just paints this weird ass, vivid ass picture where it's like, if you ain't looking like this, if you ain't got this, you ain't doing shit.
If you're not looking like that, if you're not going here, you're not up on game. If you're not going to Vegas, if you're not going to Hawaii, you're not really doing it moving. If your bitch not shaking ass on the gram and she not buying you a car, you got a bum ass bitch. If your nigga not buying you a Birkin bag and some diamond earrings and Cartier, you got a bum ass nigga. And now you got all these niggas living above their means. All these women living above their means. Like, really, really, really sit here and think about when the PS5 came out, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it was a joke. It was a joke going around. Oh, I'm finna beg my girl to buy it, yada, yada, blase. How many of them girls use their credit card and not their cash? How many of them girls spent money that they did not have to give their man something that they do not need just for social media? Just so Steve can go on Instagram and be like, nigga, this nigga's bitch got him a PS5. Nigga, that bitch got cheese. No, she don't. She couldn't afford that PS5. That's why she used her credit card.
I looked at a survey, bro. About, like, I think, what the hell, what was it? I think it was a survey, but it was also somebody who said this. I think it was like a minority mindset. I think he said something like that. I don't know if you ever.
I watched the video. That's where I got that the peacocking from.
Yes, yeah, minority mindset. So, I mean, if anybody should, like, listen to anything about money or anything, listen to Minority Mindset. That's actually a really good, like, he has, like, a YouTube, and you can follow him on Instagram. It's really, really, really good. A lot of people will benefit from the knowledge that this person really spits, because he says a lot of good things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree. It's like I don't know where the hell this perception of, like, you know, if you ain't showing your blessings, you ain't got none type shit. That's some weird shit to me,
bro.
If you ain't showing your blessings,
you ain't got none.
That's some.
Whew. You ain't got none,
nigga. Oh.
If you don't post your girl on the gram, you don't love her.
Damn. Uh-huh. Oh no.
What the fuck? What the fuck are y'all talking about?
For real,
Steve, you didn't go to Hawaii. Yes, I did. Where the pictures at, nigga? Nigga, I ain't see you post nothing on the gram.
Hold on.
You wasn't there. Bro, I was. What? What do you mean? So you meaning to tell me you don't believe nothing I say until I give you validation?
For real.
I'm cool.
I need to show receipts all the time.
Yes, niggas. We live in a society where niggas want receipts for everything you do. Everything you do. And if you can't provide no receipt, you're not authentic.
See?
Steve, you didn't go to China. Where the pictures at? What are you talking about? They took our phones. You a lie? Where the ticket at? The military sent us over there. What are you talking about? this nigga Steve lying, bro. And you like, damn, I'm really trying to sit here and convince a nigga I don't really give a fuck about my authentication. Bro, yeah. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Because niggas know, the people that know that you're valid, you don't have to prove that you're valid.
I think J. Cole even said that in a lyric one time. He said, what you eat don't make me shit, and who you fuck don't make me cum. Yes, nigga, yes.
That's real shit.
That's some.
What you do ain't got shit to do with me. Go ahead, bro, continue.
So I guess like the next thing I wanted to talk about was practicing indifference.
Yo, we're about to cut to commercial and be right back. Blah! Hey, y'all, we're back at it again, and we have three more chapters to go over. So I'm going to go ahead and let my man continue. And I hope you guys really enjoy all the knowledge we're dropping. Give us a like. Give us some comments. Ferrella Galleria is the Instagram. Maseko Sun, he'll be tagged on the publishing date. And you already know who this is, baby. It's Let's Talk Ferrella. Let's continue.
Okay, so one of the other chapters I wanted to really talk about. I feel like I'm going through the whole book, but like low key.
Like, bro, literally you can abbreviate it. Like we filmed a lot, so
okay.
Like you can go ahead and continue.
Okay, so one of the chapters was practicing indifference. So this one is
practicing indifference.
Indifference.
Okay, go ahead, explain.
Okay, so in the book, you know, You All Know Nothing, this one was probably like one of the bigger chapters of the whole section, you know, the whole thing, practicing indifference. And what that means is basically how to deal with people in a certain way. So a lot of people feel like they owe people certain things. They feel like they owe people certain emotions. They feel like they owe people amount of time. They feel like they owe people certain things. And then at the same time, like, you know, I think there was a quote that said that no one can make you feel inferior without your consent, right?
Yeah, I like that. Explain for the people who don't know.
Okay, so a bunch of what we were talking about, it was like episode one, last episode, last
chapter one.
Yeah, the last episode. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chapter one. So a lot of times, you know, we were talking about keeping up with the Joneses or feeling some type of way about certain things. You know, like, oh man, I'm inadequate. I'm not doing the same thing as this person, right? Well, you gotta ask yourself, why do I give a shit? You know, you really gotta sit there and let somebody get into your mind, let somebody get into your realm, and control how you feel. You know, another quote, and it's in the book too, but I put that is anger, or you know. Anger or jealousy is just like a punishment for yourself. So like if you get angry, you're just punishing yourself for what somebody else did, right?
1,000%.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to practice indifference. So here's an example. You're with a girlfriend, right? A long time, or not even a long time, just say it's a year or two, right? And y'all break up, and you thinking it's you, or maybe it was you, or maybe it was her, doesn't matter, right? And then you do the mistake of oh man, I'm about to fucking call this girl all the time, I'm about to try to get her back, and then she's pulling away because of what? Because you are begging like a dog. you know what I mean, showing that you ain't got no hoes, you ain't got no nothing, you're just the same dude. And she, now she's controlling, she has the power of like whether or not she's taking you back or not. Now if you ever wanted to switch that story, all you had to do was be like, I don't give a fuck, you know, I don't give a shit at all. And I guarantee you, watch that person be like, oh fuck, like blowing up your phone, hitting you up, saying all kinds of, you know, all kinds of shit. But
this sound personal as hell. This sound personal as hell.
No, I'm just saying, from experience, because at first I didn't even think, okay, at first, I'm not going to lie, I was that nigga that was just like, you feel me? Like, I had all my emotions there, bro, all my emotions stacked up, my anger, my sadness, my sorrow, all, everything that I needed to say was just out there, and they would just fucking disrespect it, look at me crazy or something. And then, eventually, I got into one where I was just like, oh, this it? Fuck it. Oh well. And then guess what happened?
What?
Like, the fucking outcome that the first version of me wanted happened. Like, I, like, oh, they try to ask, like, try to come back or some shit.
After you just gave up.
Not even gave up, just didn't care.
You know what I mean? It's that happens a lot after breakups because it's lack of control. If we break up and you hit me up all the time, you know why I'm not fucking calling you back? Because I want you to crave me. Mm-hmm. I want you to miss me. I want you to need me. I want you to make your life about me. Oh my God, I'm going to leave my homegirl house right now and come over. Yeah, okay, come over. That's control. But it's like when a motherfucker don't got control no more, it's like...
Even if it's like, even not even just a breakup, even if somebody like you see somebody out here like gassing you, roasting this shit at you, right? They did this on your ass, and they just keep getting on your ass because you keep trying to say something. As soon as you like,
don't give a fuck, it's not funny no more.
It's not funny no more.
Damn, Steve, you always taking shit out of personal, bro. Now it's like, dang, bro. You can't even get at me no more. Now you sick about it. You take the power back.
That's how you... Yeah, so that's what practicing indifference is. That is a person's true power. So that's chapter 9.
What chapter you went into?
Shit, man. We've been fucking going through all the chapters, nigga.
I mean, shit, bro. It's your book. We can keep some of that shit private so the people can really wait on it and be excited because we went into super depth. Like, nigga, we got a lot of film. A lot. Like, enough for me to do 2 commercials in the middle and then stop it. So.
Okay, so we can go into, we don't have to go into all of it, but we can go to, like, next one. You know, this kind of going off of, not going off of practicing indifference, but it's a totally different topic. It's another chapter. It's, like, chapter 15. It's called, the difference between uncomfortable assistance and comfortable assistance.
Explain.
Okay. So, say you're at a Walmart. Just minding your business. See a homeless person right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Homeless nigga want to ask for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know you got like $100 in your pocket. So you give him a dollar, you know, and then it's nothing. You just helped out a homeless person. You still got money and it didn't hurt you, right? Mm-hmm. Say you only got $10 in your pocket. Somebody's asking you for $6, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you give that person $6. Now you just gave him more than what you got. You know, now you're hurting. Now you're wondering, fuck, I needed like an extra dollar so we can even it out, or an extra $2 so I can, you know, but... You just gave that person $6. Now this person is doing better than you, and you kind of fucked yourself up because.
So pretty much, comfortable assistance is helping somebody within your means,
mm-hmm.
and uncomfortable assistance is helping somebody outside of your means.
Yes, and even it goes both ways. So, What I talk about is I talk about receiving comfortable assistance and uncomfortable assistance, and then giving comfortable assistance and uncomfortable assistance. So what we just talked about is giving comfortable assistance and uncomfortable assistance. But there's a such thing as actually receiving comfortable assistance and uncomfortable assistance. So receiving uncomfortable assistance, comfortable assistance is like if you already help somebody and they give you something because you need it. So you feel, kind of feel like they owe you or something, you know, whether that's comfortable, because it's like you don't feel any type of way because it's like, nigga, you kind of already owe me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, receiving uncomfortable assistance has to really tie it to a person's pride. You know, whether or not like you're down bad and you feel like you don't want to help anybody, or you don't want to feel indentured to somebody. You know what I mean? You don't want to feel enslaved to somebody, because I'm not going to lie, like a lot of people, you know, they like to throw that shit in your face all the time. You help somebody else out, they're going to be like, oh, remember the shit I did for you? I helped you out.
When they throw it back in your face to try to remind you.
Yes.
Yeah.
To try to control you.
Yeah.
So in my book, I try to explain how to navigate through that. How to make it work, not work in your favor, but just so much of understanding what's going on, because a lot of people really don't know what's going on when something like that happens. They're out here thinking that they're just straight up asking for a homie for help or something like that. That homie ain't really the homie, you feel me? So that's kind of like the basis of it. I'm not gonna go too into depth into it, because mm-hmm. it's a lot. But But what do you think about that?
Honestly, it's all good, and this is Let's Talk Ferrella and my boy
Masenko,
and shit. Honestly, he was originally gonna summarize some of his titles and categories for you guys, but he ended up dropping some gems. So if you vibe with the ideology, you can wait on that book when it drops. And tell everybody, what's the title of the book again?
It's called You Owe No One Nothing. It's coming in, I want to say June of 2022.
June 2022. You don't owe nobody a motherfucking thing. Nah, I'm playing. You owe nobody nothing. June?
2022.
Mark it on your calendars, because it's about to get real with Masenko. Blah! Hope you guys enjoyed Cypher Something. I have plenty of content on the way. Check out Ferrella Galleria on Instagram. This is a new segment I'm adding to Let's Talk Ferrella, but I just wanted to give insight and feedback and perspective on certain topics and point of views from everybody's life. I hope you guys enjoy the beat, because we worked really hard on it. Shouts out to Little Uzi Squirt.